Hi, this is Mrs. English, and I'm going to continue with the summaries of Milton's Paradise Lost. In the first audio file, we covered books 1, 2, and 3. I'm now beginning with book 4. The argument tells us that Satan now is close to Eden, and he's very close to the place where he has to undertake this thing that he's decided to do. In the very beginning, we will see that conscience wakes despair. This was line 24. That slumbered wakes the bitter memory of what he was, what is. So Satan now has a prick of conscience. He's remembering what he was. That was line 25. What he is, and what must be worse of worse deeds, worse sufferings must ensue. That he's going to do even worse things and probably suffer even more. Then, 27, sometimes toward Eden, which now in his view lay pleasant, his grieved look he fixes sad, sometimes toward heaven and the full blazing sun, which now sat high in his meridian tower. So the sun is at its height. It's about noon, line 30. Then much revolving thus in sighs began, and we had that incredible soliloquy of Satan that starts line 33. O thou that with surpassing glory crowned, lookst from thy sole dominion like the god of this new world. And it's quite a lengthy soliloquy. And he says in line 75, which way I fly is hell, myself am hell. And then the most touching part of Satan's soliloquy is line 86, and again we're in book 4, line 86, and Satan says, I, me, they little know how dearly I abide that boast so vain, under what torments inwardly I groan, while they adore me on the throne of hell, all his friends and cronies, and that he is falling lower still. He's suffering, and he is not very happy. Let's see. So he's going to take it out on mankind. However, we find out that he had not enough practice deceiving yet, line 124, yet not enough had practiced to deceive Uriel once warned. Remember, Uriel had been warned, whose eye pursued him, so Uriel is watching him. Line 125, the way he went and on the Assyrian mount saw him disfigured. So as Satan is looking at things, he cannot keep up this fake image of the cherub, and Uriel realizes, oh my goodness, it's one of those bad ones. And he looks off, then alone as he surpassed, all unobserved, unseen, line 130, so on he fares, and to the border comes of Eden, where delicious paradise, now nearer, crowns with her enclosure green. And we have this beautiful description of Eden, line 143, the verdurous, which means a rich green, the verdurous wall, and of course that's how he's going to get over it. So he's going to have to spring over the wall. And the metaphor used there in line 183, he lights with light on his feet as when a prowling wolf. And so Satan is likened to a prowling wolf. Then he's compared, line 196, to a cormorant. He has lit on the tree of life, and he's sitting like a cormorant. A cormorant is that seabird that has the great big pouch underneath. For Milton to choose a cormorant, for Satan to sit in this tree of life, it's a portrayal of greed. The cormorant, having a huge mouth, is able to eat a lot. And symbolically, Satan here is a greedy bird sitting in the tree of life. There are all types of metaphors there that we could explore, but we won't take that much time. Then he views the lovely Adam and Eve. Very innocent, in all their innocence. He sees them, he listens to them, he overhears them, and as Adam is praising God and Eve is praising God, Adam warns Eve of their one commandment, and now Satan knows what it is. He knows what it is. He has seen these two who, line 287, said they were two of far nobler shape, erect and tall, godlike erect. They're more beautiful than all the other creatures. He has observed them, and now he says in line 367, 366, now that he's heard their secret, ah, gentle pair, Ye little think how nigh your change approaches, when all these delights will vanish and deliver ye to woe. More woe, the more your taste is now of joy. Happy, but for so happy, ill secured, long to continue. Very spooky lines here. And he believes that Eve is more beautiful than anyone, and Eve looks into the water and believes that the person she sees is more beautiful than the more rational Adam, and a voice speaks to her and takes her to Adam. This is God, invisible, Milton tells us, leading her to Adam, and the couple go to their bower. They go to their bower, and this makes Satan even angrier. He says in line 5:12, "Yet let me not forget what I've gained from their own mouths. All is not there, it seems. One fatal tree there stands of knowledge called. Forbidden them to taste." Knowledge forbidden? Line 5:21, "O fair foundation laid whereon to build their ruin. Hence I'll excite their minds with more desire to know and to reject envious commands." Then he says, line 5:33, "Live while ye may, ye happy pair. Enjoy till I return short pleasures, for long woes are to succeed." And we find out that the angels, Gabriel is sitting there with the angels at the gate. They have nothing better to do, and so they're practicing these heroic games, and they have set down their celestial armor and shields. This is line 5:50. They've been awaiting night, exercising heroic games, unarmed, but nearby they have their shields, helmets, and spears. And here comes Uriel coming and says to Gabriel, "Gabriel, you've been given," this is line 5:61, "to have strict and watch over this happy place, that no evil thing has come in. And I'm going to tell you, this day at the height of noon came to my sphere a spirit, zealous as he seemed," line 5:65, "to know more of the almighty works, and chiefly man, God's latest image. I described his way, bent on all speed," and then he says, "but I saw him." And he tells us that mine eye pursued him, line 5:73, "but under shade lost sight of him. One of the banished crew, I fear, hath ventured from the deep to raise new troubles. Him thy care must be to find." That was line 5:75. And so now Gabriel is ready to go searching for him. And sure enough, where do they find them? As Adam and Eve have gone to their bower, and Eve asks all kinds of innocent questions of Adam, and we have these beautiful replies. She says in line 5:657, "Wherefore all night long shine these, for whom this glorious sight, when sleep hath shut all eyes? Why do these shine at night? Who gets to see them and appreciate them?" Very nice. Then, "Where have we found Satan?" Line 800, "Squat like a toad, close at the ear of Eve." Ooh, whispering to her. "His disguise fails him." And line 810, "Thus with intent, Euthyrial with his spear touched lightly," so he touches the toad lightly with his spear, "for no falsehood can endure touch of celestial temper," so you cannot stay false if you're touched with that heavenly spear, "but returns of force to its own likeness." And so Satan, up he starts, discovered and surprised, just like when a spark lights on a heap of nitrous powder, line 815, you can imagine a little blaze. Satan can't believe that this angel, Euthyrial, does not know him, and says in line 827, "Know ye not then," said Satan, filled with scorn, "know ye not me? You knew me once, no mate for you, there sitting where ye durst not soar." So the Euthyrial is shocked that he thinks at his ugliness, and Satan is surprised because he believes he is a superior angel, higher on that hierarchical scale. Then Satan tells, it's the "take me to your leader." In line 851, he says, if I must contend, he said, best with the best, the sender, not the sent. Okay, I'm not going to have anything to do with you, but the one who sent you. Or all at once more glory will be won, or less be lost. And so they're going to take him. Satan declares that anybody would leave the pain of hell if they could. Satan says in line 885, with contemptuous brow, Gabriel, thou hadst in heaven the esteem of wise, as such I held thee. But this question asked puts me in doubt. Lives there who loves his pain? Is there anybody alive who loves his pain? Who would not, finding way, break loose from hell, through though hither doomed? Thou wouldst thyself, no doubt, and boldly venture to whatever place farthest from pain. And so this is how Satan says you would have to do this too. And let's see. Then he says, line 938, here in hope to find better abode. Satan was hoping to find a better place to live. And as book four ends, the last three lines, the fiend looked up and knew his mounted scale aloft nor more, but fled murmuring, and with him fled the shades of night. And so he goes. And we come to book five. Book five, morning comes, and Eve tells Adam that she had a bad dream. She had a terrible bad dream. She can't believe it. She wished that she had not been alone. In her dream, something that she thought was an angel tempted her to partake of the tree of knowledge, and she dreamed that she tasted the apple, and Adam is very fearful. He's troubled by her uncouth dream, but then he tells her that just thinking those things is not sinful, but we can't tell if he really believes that or not. She's very grateful. She's very cheered by his reassurance, but nevertheless, she sheds that tear, and Adam kisses her second tear away. We have a beautiful imagery here of the relationship that Adam and Eve have. Apparently, they have a very good relationship. And Adam tells her, line 120, that what in sleep thou didst abhor to dream, what in sleep you hate that you dreamed, waking thou wilt never consent to do. So he reassures her. And then, line 133, I believe, he kisses her tears away before any more fall. And then they begin with their praises, and this is apparently the way they begin each morning. Their morning worship starts with line 144, lowly they bowed adoring and began their orisons. So they're now having their devotions, and they sing praises to God. Then in book 5, let's see, they're singing praises clear through the line 200s here. And God calls, God is watching them working, and he pities them, and he calls for Raphael. Line 219, them thus employed, they are busy, Adam and Eve, beheld with pity heaven's high king, and to him called Raphael the sociable spirit, that deigned to travel with Tobias, etc. And he tells Raphael, Raphael said he, in line 223, thou hearest what stir on earth Satan from hell scaped through the darksome gulf hath raised in paradise. Okay, you've heard what Satan has done in paradise, how he disturbed at night the human pair, how he is going to try and ruin them. And he says, I want you to go and tell him, you're going to find him, line 231, thou findest him from the heat of noon retired, to respite his day labor with repast, have a little lunch, or with repose, have a little rest. And such discourse, conversation, bring on, that may advise him of his happy state. Happiness in his power left free to will. Line 235. So Raphael is supposed to go and tell him that he has free will. And heaven's gates, line 254, of heaven arrived, the gate self-opened wide on the golden hinges. And he leaves. He is a seraph, if you've listened to our little excursion on angels, you know a little bit more about angels, just a touch. Line 277, a seraph winged, six wings he wore to shade his lineaments divine. The pair that clad each shoulder broad came mantling over his breast with regal ornament. The middle pair, line 280, girt like a starry zone his waist, and round skirted his loins and thighs with downy gold and colors dipped in heaven. The third, okay, this is the set of wings, his feet shadowed from either heel with feathered mail, like chain mail, sky tinctured grain. And he stood there like Maia's son, who is Mercury, or Hermes, who was the messenger god. And that's appropriate because God's sending him as a messenger. So Raphael takes off, and then line 2, 9, 8, or 9, Adam onward came, and Adam discerned. He sees Adam. He recognizes him. Adam sees him coming, and line 308 says, "Haste hither, Eve, and worth thy sight. Behold, you know, come see, oh my goodness, you can't believe it. What glorious shape comes this way moving." Line 310. And they prepare to entertain an angel, and Eve is determined to do her best. So, on comes Raphael, and Adam speaks to Raphael, line 361, native of heaven, and because you can't have come from any other place, we hope you can stay for a while. Come in and have a cool decline. That was line 370. And Raphael begins speaking, line 371, whom thus the angelic virtue answered mild, "Adamic therefore came, not art thou such created, or such place hast here to dwell, as may not oft invite." You have the kind of place you can invite us often to come and visit you. That would be very nice. And we have those beautiful lines about Eve, line 382, "The wood nymph for the fairest god and feigned of three that on Mount Ida naked strove." This is a classical allusion comparing Eve, actually comparing Hera, Aphrodite, and Athena, the three most beautiful goddesses, and saying that Eve, in her natural state, is more beautiful than any of these three. And so he greets her with a hail, bestowed the holy salutation used long after to bless Mary, the second Eve. We have some beautiful epithets of Adam, calling him our author, our great sire, things like that. And then we have, I'm racing through book 5 here looking for anything else that we need to discuss. And after they have lunch, line 453, "In Adam, not to let the occasion pass, given him by this great conference, to know of things above his world, and of their being who dwelt in heaven, he's going to take advantage to ask Raphael about heaven now, and to try and keep him there." So we learn a little bit about that there is a hierarchy of angels, because line 467, "To whom the winged hierarch replied." We know now that there is a hierarchy of angels. And I know that you have at least one essay somewhere in the back of your edition that will tell you a little bit about the hierarchy of heaven. However, I think our notes, our excursies in angelology, biblical angelology, angelology will give you more information. Adam called the patriarch of mankind. That's in 506. And Raphael then, in line 521, says, "Attend that you're happy, and you owe that to God. That you continue such happy, you owe that to yourself." Okay? It's whether you obey or not. Line 529, he says, "It's our voluntary service he requires. And if you fall," that some are fallen, line 540, "to love or not, in this we stand or fall, and some are fallen, to disobedience fallen, and so from heaven to deepest hell. Oh, fall from what high state of bliss into what woe." So he says that. "And to whom our great progenitor," that is Adam, "thy words attentive and with more delighted ear, divine instructor, I have heard." Okay, so I listen and I'll pay attention. Adam then is called in line 563, "O prime of men." And Raphael has he's got his own little epic story coming up here in those next few lines. And we have Milton's heresy in line 603, "This day I have begot," probably his heresy. We have some foreshadowing in line 617, "All seem well pleased, all seemed, but were not all." And we know that Satan was envious of the sun. We're told that in line 662. This is Raphael telling Adam about the fall with envy against the Son of God. And line 667, "He resolved with all his legions to dislodge and leave unworshipped, unobeyed, the throne supreme." So Lucifer had plotted that revolt. And They went to their northern quarters. If you've listened to our angelology, you'll pick up on that, the word north here in line 689, there to prepare fit entertainment to receive our King, the Great Messiah. That's what they say they're doing. They're going off to their northern quarters to make preparations to entertain and receive the King, the new Son. And of course, what they're really doing is making preparations to revolt. And we know Lucifer was a high-ranking angel, line 706, for great indeed his name, and high was his degree in heaven, his countenance as the morning star. And we know he is a liar, line 709, with lies, drew after him the third part of heaven's host. And if you have listened to the angelology, you know about that third part of heaven now too. Then we need to end book 5 here. No, he's going through the entire thing again. We have some formal speeches and Abdiel, where we still have a recounting where Raphael is telling Adam in line 822. Raphael is saying that Abdiel said to Satan, God made you. And Abdiel reminds them in lines 837, that the Father made all things, even thee, even you. And Abdiel implores them in the next few lines, on from 840 through 845 and a little further, he's imploring them to repent while they still can. Then Satan is claiming, line 860, that he is self-begot. And Satan says to Abdiel, line 871, and fly ere evil intercept thy flight. So get lost while you can. And Abdiel has a beautiful speech, line 877, where he stands up and says, O alienate from God, O spirit accursed, and he leaves. He leaves. He flies through all of those third of heaven, the evil angels. He is the only one to stand up and stand alone. So he says, I'm leaving not because I'm afraid of you. I'm leaving before you get punished. Then you will know. Line 894, then who created thee, lamenting, learn. Who then can uncreate thee? Thou shalt know. Who can destroy thee, uncreate thee? And so spake the seraph Abdiel, faithful found. Among the faithless, faithful only he. And so Raphael concludes this part of his story to Adam. Then we go on to book 6.